Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you this morning. Thank you for coming out to be a part of this time of putting God in the highest place. For those of you watching, we're just grateful that you've taken the time to be a part of this gathering. We all need change. We all need change. But change is hard. How do I know this? Well, I know this. One reason why I know this is I like pizza. Anybody here like pizza? I love pizza, especially the cheesy pepperoni kind. I mean, lots of thick, you know, stuff on there. And I want to eat it like a teenager. I just do. I want to have four pieces, five pieces, and just keep eating it. And it's like, no! You know, at the age that I'm at right now, I need to have healthy eating habits. Anybody with me? But change is hard. It's so hard. You may know exactly what I'm talking about. You may have an area of your life that you're trying to work on, you're trying to change. And it's just, it's hard. It's very difficult. We're in a series right now called Gospel in Life. And what we've been talking about is this concept of the gospel. Brother Enoch, thank you so much, your wonderful family, for being here today and for reminding us that the gospel is not just a United States thing. The gospel is transcultural. It's transgenerational. And the gospel is this, that God saves sinners. And that's the foundation that this church is built on. So we're in this series and we're trying to understand the implications of the gospel. That when the gospel comes into someone's life, it has the power to radically change that life. It has the power to bring a profound impact to the people around that person. Like, let's say their family, their neighborhood, and as we've been thinking about, their city, the community that they live in. And today, what we're going to really grapple with is that God wants to transform you. He wants to change you. He wants to change me. And He wants to make us into what He's envisioned us to be, which is to be made in the image of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose that God has in His transformational process for you and I. But again, change is hard. It's not easy. And today we're going to look at the context for change, the context for gospel change. And we're going to learn today that gospel change is only possible through community. The need for gospel change is there, and the only way to see that happen, the only way that it's possible, is through community. So here's our roadmap for today. We're going to ask, I'm going to ask three questions and then give three answers. That'll be our outline today. Let me just walk through the questions real quick. The first one is, why does God choose community to transform? Why? Come on, God, isn't there a better way than through community? Secondly, what specific goal, gospel-stretching community has God made for the follower of Jesus? And then lastly, how do we participate in God's family plan? So those are the questions. Let's jump right in here. Why does God choose community to transform? Here's the first answer. Number one, relational friction reveals your need for gospel change. Relational friction reveals your need for gospel change. Friction is when there's resistance between two objects. They're kind of rubbing on each other, okay? And it creates heat, right? Friction can be good. Friction can be bad. Like, bad friction is when you're riding your bicycle and you fall off of it when you're going 10 miles an hour. That's bad friction. We call it road rash, right? Good friction, though, is when we take a sheet of 80 grit and we begin the process of beautifying a project that we're working on, right? When you're in community, any kind of community, it could be you're on a team, could be in a family, a neighborhood. When you're in a community, there will be friction. There will be rubbing against other objects, other people, let's say. And so being in community, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like being on a bus trip. Anybody ever went on a long bus trip before? I rode up north to the UP for sports games and stuff like that. So you've been on a bus trip, maybe something like that. When you're on a bus trip, you must deal with other people. You're in a confined space and you're moving down the road. You got to deal with people. Years ago, when I was a student pastor, I led a trip to Florida. And so we had teenagers and some adults that were on the trip. And the vehicle that we had, it had two gas tanks on it. It was very inefficient, big old 15-passenger van. And it burned like 4 or 5 miles to the gallon. But anyway, I calculated that with the two tanks, we could drive for 4 hours before we had to refill. So I notified everybody that we would not be stopping other than to fill up every 4 hours. That did not go over well, let me just tell you. And what you find in community is that some people have smaller bladders than other people. Some people make different choices than other people. I'm talking about the 48-ounce Slurpees that people would get on our... So, you know, it was difficult. So, on a bus trip, though, that's where your need for gospel change is revealed. That's where it's fleshed out. That's where you see it. You see, friction arises. And that friction, it may shine a light on your lack of patience for people that believe different things than you believe. They may have different political ideas than that you have. And so there's friction. You may think, oh man, those people, they're so opinionated. You ever thought that before? Don't elbow anybody, right? A bus trip will bring out how self-oriented you may be. How tied to your own comfort you are. And this will definitely show up on a bus trip, that if you have a propensity to hold resentment or to be an unforgiving person, it's going to show up on a bus trip. But many of us, we don't want a bus trip. What do we want? We want a motorcycle ride. Right? We want a motorcycle ride. You know, it's you and your bike. That's it. Nobody else. You can stop when you want to stop. You can, you know, eat when you want to eat. You can eat what you want to eat. No one's telling you how fast to go. No one's trying to slow you down. It's just you and the bike. And I think, as followers of Jesus Christ, we follow the culture with this. That's what we want. We gravitate toward that. We gravitate towards solo riding. But the problem is, nothing is being revealed about our character. We're not seeing anything that's wrong, that needs to be addressed, that needs transformation. And so relational friction, it reveals, it makes known the areas where we're not like Christ, where we have work to do. So let's go to the next question. What specific gospel-stretching community has God made for the follower of Jesus? What specific gospel-stretching community has God made for the follower of Christ? So I'm going to read a passage. This is from Ephesians, the letter to the people in Ephesus 2,000 years ago. The Apostle Paul wrote it. And he's writing to Christians. He's writing to the followers of Jesus. He's not writing to the whole town of Ephesus. He's specifically writing to Christians, and he's teaching them and suggesting things to them and so on and so forth. And so we have that today. So let me read this passage. It's Ephesians chapter 2. It'll be on the screen. Verse 13 and then 19 through 21. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Consequently, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. This is God's Word. So what specific gospel-stretching community has God made for the follower of Jesus? Here's the second answer. Our second point is, participation in God's family refines your character. Participation in God's family. That's what's laid out here in Ephesians chapter 2. You see, when you're in Christ, when you trust Christ, and you invite Him into your life, you find forgiveness, you find His way as your way, you are in Christ, and now, it says here, you are no longer strangers and aliens. No more solo trips. You're not on your own any longer. But you're in a community. You're in the family of God, a community created by faith through His gospel, through His good news, that God saves sinners. Now, members of God's household. And what does that mean? Is that we need to be traveling with other people. We need to deal with small bladders. That was a hard trip, by the way. It was not fun. Like, what do you mean? We just stopped 35 minutes ago. You got to go number one again? Are you kidding me? I passed back a cup. No, I didn't. I honestly did not. We got to deal with the opinions of others. I mean, some people, they're politically right, and some people are politically left, and some people are, we don't know what planet they're from. They're in our church! Seriously? I have to love them? They believe differently than me about this thing. They like Ohio State. I mean, come on. They like Michigan. I mean, come on. You're traveling with others. And so you're going to have prickly personalities. You're going to have people that they just rub you the wrong way by the way they stand there. It bugs you. You're bugged by them. And it's about time for a Cousin Eddie illustration. I mean, come on. We're headed towards Christmas, and it's about time that we bring out... I wish I would have put a picture up there of Cousin Eddie. Beautiful Cousin Eddie. But, you know, it is a lot like that. I mean, you've got some Cousin Eddies in your family. And, yeah, they empty their stuff, you know, in the sewer drain. What? You're in the family of God, the household of God. And it's for a reason. A strategic reason. And I'm just going to tell you, we're losing that. We're losing it here. We're losing it in our country. I believe our brothers and sisters in Africa and around the world are doing much better at this. We're so self-sufficient and so self-oriented and so comfort-focused. We can't even see. We're blinded. Everything is a decision on what's best for me. And we're not thinking about the family. We're only thinking about me. And it's happening. And it's changing the whole landscape of the way following of Christ is occurring in our country that we live in. Strategic purpose, it's stated here, two of them, this Ephesians passage, verse 21, let me read it again. In whom, the family, in whom the whole structure, there's a slide for this, in whom the whole structure, number one, being joined together. By the way, that's a construction term. That's a it's like toenailing something. Joined together, drawn in together. You know, like if you ever, you know, you're working in wood and you're needing to draw something in, you get the screw gun, you get a really super duper long screw, and you drive that thing in and it draws it together, it joins it together. The way we build a wall on a concrete foundation, we want that wall joined well to the foundation. That's what this word is saying. That we're anchored down. We're built together. That's what it's saying. And then the second from that verse, the first one was being joined together. Secondly, grows into a holy temple. Now this is a complete different illustration. This is about like how plants grow, how babies grow. That's where the word comes from. It's a growth word, and it has in mind the idea of maturing, of growing up, of not being an infant anymore. You know, like, quit being a baby, you know. That's where it comes from. It's that kind of an idea. And so to grow up in our faith, to mature, for what purpose? Why do plants mature? So that they will produce fruit. So that they will produce something good, something pleasing, something others can enjoy. And that's the purpose. That we see that here. That's what he's saying. So that it will grow into a holy temple in the Lord. So that we will mature. You see, the family of God exists to mature you and to mature me. And for those of you that are at home, to mature you as well. But it takes engagement. Okay? In the context of the family, that's where your character is refined. That's where your character gets worked on. That's where the unwanted elements you grow out of it. It's where improvement happens. One of the key words, we talk about it occasionally here, is the word sanctification. It's a great word, sanctification. It's the process of becoming like Christ. You see, justification is what happens when we trust Christ. Immediately, we're forgiven and we're brought into the family of God. Positionally, we're a son, we're a daughter. That doesn't change. Sanctification is another aspect of our Christianity. It's describing the process that we go through, the practical process that we go through to be like Christ, to become like Christ. And that's what this whole thing is about here. That's what this whole idea is. That's what the family is there for. Now, some of you, you're skeptical of this. You're like, nah, I don't think so. That's not for me. That may be for other people. You know, you may have some skeptical feelings. But I just want to show you, I want to push the envelope a little bit here, that this is God's purpose and His design. And if you're a Christian, it's His purpose and design for you. So let me, in the Scripture, in the New Testament, there are 59, almost six dozen, right? 59 one another passages. Okay, one another. Well, what does that mean? One another passages. Okay, I'm going to give you some grammar here this morning. You ready for some grammar? Who likes grammar? Raise your hand. Hey, we've got some. Bob, I didn't know that about you and your daughter. Wow, there's some grammar lovers here. So the one another is a second person plural. I don't really got plurals. That's my bad. Second person plurals. Yeah, really defeated my grammar lesson here today, haven't I? Second person plural. Okay? Meaning, it's like this. We don't say it this way, but it's like, use. Use should do this. We read a you in the Bible, and what do we, as Americans, what do we think? The Bible's talking about me. I love it. You know, it's about me. It's all about me, baby. And it's like, no, you got to look around. Like, oh, those people too, they're part of the yous. It's yous. It's y'all. We could say that if we were from the South. It's not just about you. And so we have 59 of these. And they're imperatives, which means they're commands. It's telling us to do something. Here's some examples. Use. Look to the interests of one another. Here's another one. Use. Live in harmony with one another. Here's one I love to do at a wedding. Use. Bear with one another. Then I always say to the guy, don't be a bear. Bear. Endure with one another. That's what the Scripture says. Forgive one another. Spur one another on to good works. If you want this list, just text Genesis for the notes, and it's in the notes. All 59 of them are right there. You can look through those and study those. Relational friction, it reveals your need for gospel change. The bus ride, the family, is where you get to follow God's commands. That's where you get to flesh it out. You see, what we do as a church, it's not just about mentally understanding things. You know, we should understand things. Believers should think. We should think to believe. And we can. It isn't, the two aren't separated. But it's not just about learning something. It's about applying it. It's about bringing it into your life. Relational friction reveals the bus ride is where you get to follow it. That's where your character is refined. So let's go to this last question. How do we participate in God's family plan? How do we do it? Gospel transformation requires your investment. So it's revealed the need we have, and then through the family, that's where it gets refined. But hey, this is where you got to pay up. Your investment is required. It's essential. Transformation does not happen by itself. It doesn't happen like some of you that took trigonometry years ago. You thought, oh man, I got a final exam tomorrow. I'm going to put that book under my pillow and go to sleep. And by osmosis, something you learn in a different class, then I'm going to have all this knowledge. Did that ever work? You can't get transformation by osmosis. You can't get it by taking a pill. You can't klep out of it. Oh, I'm just going to take the klep test and then I don't have to do it. I don't got to go to church and be a part of those people. No. Devotion is needed. An investment is needed. Now, in the book of Acts, that's the book in the Bible that describes what happened in the early church. I like to say it this way. It's where it shows how the first followers of Jesus carried out his commands. It's a narrative. It's reportage. It's describing. It's not saying you have to do it this way. There's not a lot of commands in Acts. It's mostly about, hey, this is what they did. You know, Jesus basically said this, and this is how they carried it out. So it's right there. So let me read, this is a little lengthy passage. It's about five verses. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. This is the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Verse 42, they were committed to some things. They were committed to the apostles' teaching. They were committed to fellowship, which the Greek word is koinonia, which is the coming together and, you know, putting their hearts together, breaking bread, you know, prayer. And then verse 44, all the believers were together. And it says here, it describes they had everything in common. This isn't an imperative for communism at all. It's what they chose to do as they were led by God. Just like we as a church, we are led by God and we need to, we're called to certain things in certain eras. But here's the thing that don't miss is that because the culture's different and all that stuff, but don't miss this. They made the people, the family of God in that early church, they made an investment of their presence. They were present. How do we do it here? Well, we have worship gatherings. And that's a way where you can invest your presence in the family. Coming early, visiting with people during the intermission and afterwards. Small groups, we have many different types of groups. We've got Real Women that was mentioned. It's a bigger group. It meets once a month. It's a way to invest your presence into the church. There's smaller groups. There's prayer quads and triads and in-between groups. So that's another. So we have gatherings and small groups. And then we have serve teams. You know, the stuff that happens on a Sunday morning, it just doesn't miraculously appear. There's actually teams that work together. And it's another way to invest your presence into the family. All along this, Luke was painting a picture of what the early church did. He was painting a picture. It wasn't like, you have to do it this way. He was just kind of giving brush strokes. And in the same way, we're painting a picture today. And the question is, are you in the picture? Are you being painted in there? Or are you just standing idly by? Are you just scoffing at it? Are you involved? Are you a spectator? Are you involved? Gospel transformation requires your investment. And I'm just going to tell you, it's not easy. It is not easy. I'm not this morning asking you to do something easy. If you're at home or you're here, this is going to be so easy. Just come on in and I'm going to sell you some real estate in Florida and all that. I'm just being flat out. It's not easy because people will drive you crazy. But if you're a follower of Jesus, that's what you're called to. It's what you're called to. Yeah, God has a sense of humor, right? No, He wants to change us. He wants to make us less about ourselves and more about Him. You can apply yourself. You can do this. I want to tell you, you can do it. Don't feel like you can't do it. Oh, I don't got time. I don't got time for another thing. You got to make it a priority. And we need to do this. God has us in this place and time for a certain reason. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. And Scott's going to come up here and he's going to share with you how you can invest your presence in the family. That's our next step for the day. How you can invest your presence in the family of God. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wonderful morning we've had putting you in the highest place. Open our hearts up to what you're saying. Open our hearts up to the family that we're in if we're followers of Christ. And the need that we have to invest into it. Not only for the church, but for our own transformational development. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Norm, for that challenge. We have a theme verse for our series here, our Gospel and Life series from Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It tells us to be transformed. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's passive, strangely. It means it happens to you. Where does it happen to you? You can't make it, you can't do it to yourself. It happens to you on the bus. So here's what I want you to kind of envision for a minute. Not a pastor coming up here to speak at you and to challenge you, but I want you to picture a bus that just pulled up. I'm the bus driver. And I'm going to kind of pull that handle, right? And what happens on your side? this little folding door opens up, and I'm inviting you onto the bus. And you're thinking, you want me to park my Harley and get on the bus? They smell in that bus. I don't know who I'm going to sit next to. What if they're not nice to me? The music they play is too loud, or it's not my style. I'll stick with my motorcycle. I want to encourage you to think for a moment, where have you been avoiding the bus? Is your Sunday morning participation just kind of as you feel it on Sunday? Or are you committed to, unless I'm sick, I'm coming on Sunday. I don't always feel like it. Hey, I'm the pastor. I don't always feel like it. But you come because God's going to do something in you and through you. Maybe it's that small group environment where you're like, well, I probably should. I don't know. Contact us. We'd love to connect you in some kind of a group. Serving on a team is so important. You rub shoulders with people. You work side by side. You learn to, not just about other people, you learn about yourself in this process. If you want to get more involved in one of these areas, I want to encourage you to use our text number. Just text the word bus. And we will send you a list of small groups. We'll send you an opportunities to serve as well. But I can tell you this. There's something in you right now that has been resisting getting deeper into the bus. Are you willing to surrender that to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to say, that's the place that I grow? That's the place that other people grow? Maybe I need to bring my annoying self onto the bus so that other people can learn to be peaceful and patient and grow. Maybe that's the role I play. Who knows? Are you willing to commit to the bus ride? God's plan for gospel transformation. I want to invite you to stand, and I want to just, as we do so, I want to thank you for being part of the body of Christ. There have been people throughout my life and the churches I've been involved in that have made me the person that I am today because they have served, because they have loved, because we've had to adapt to one another. We've had to find Christ and make him the center rather than ourselves. It's a great thing to be part of the family of God. I want to remind you when I'm done praying that there are some prayer team up here in the front. We'd love to have you come up if you need prayer or there's someone in your life that you want to bring before the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this day, for the message that we heard, from the encouragement across the ocean of what you're doing around the world. Lord God, also just challenge our hearts to take the step up, those three steps, whatever it is, up into the bus, turn the corner, and we don't always know what we're going to find, but that's where you're calling us to go, that we might walk side by side, life on life, your Holy Spirit, the most dominant part of the group, changing us and transforming us. Thank you for your church. Thank you for the family of God that loves us and challenges us and helps us to grow. We're not alone. We're together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.